I'm going to speak to you about being ready for regions beyond. And there's a double play in that word. but let's read 2 Corinthians 10, 15 to 16. This is what it says. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And he says, our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we could preach the gospel in regions beyond you. And so really the question that many people are asking is, why are the Larsons leaving Grace Gen? And in many ways, we're not leaving Grace Gen. We're going somewhere else. So the emphasis is not on, we want to leave Grace Gen. We don't want to leave Grace Gen at all. But we do want to go where God wants us. We want to go. And I believe that is fundamental to being part of the church that is on the move in the nations in these days. Is that we are a people on the move. We are not stationary. We're all going somewhere. And even if God calls you to be in one place for 20 years like he has to us, you're still on the move in your hearts. You're still part of what God's doing in reaching the neighborhood and the nations, as Craig said. And so I want to speak to you this morning on three points. The first is, why are we going somewhere? First is because Grace Gen has helped us to get ready to go. That's point number one. Point number two, God has things for us to do. And point number three, God has things for you to do. So let's unpack those together. So Grace Gen helped us to get ready to go. You know, when I was still in Cape Town, and Craig mentioned it, we lived in Cape Town and we helped Craig and Shannon plant a church in Khayelitsha, and then we helped another group of people plant a church in Guguletu Township down there. And then Craig came and he called us up to this part of the world. And prior to doing that, God had given me a prophetic word. And it was a prophetic picture of the Lion of Judah standing on the top of the Drakensberg and roaring. And then leaping down into KZN to the area that was Pietermaritzburg, being ferocious, dealing with his enemies, and then taking off across the savannas of Africa. And with us, clinging to his mane and going with him. So that was the picture that I had. And this is Jeff Gould standing on the top of the Drakensberg during an eye trail. And it was really a very powerful picture to us about what would happen. And then after that, Craig came and said, come to Pietermaritzburg. So we thought, yes, God's doing this. He wants us in Pietermaritzburg for a reason, for a purpose. But we did think it would be probably 3 to 5 years. And then we're headed up north across the savannas of Africa to do the rest of what God has got in store for us. Well, we, as you know, 20 years later, we're taking a very small step just over the hill to Howick. So we're not going far. It's taken a long time for us to get ready. But Grace Gen has been a critical part of getting us ready. And Grace Gen has helped us grow a family. And if I'm sure many of you who have been here in this church for a long time knew that we couldn't have kids for quite a long time. For about 5 years, we couldn't have kids. We were trying and trying, trying. And then one day, Benson had a word from the Lord. We were actually at Roselands as an eldership team. And Benson and Nikki Skay both had words for us that God is going to give you a child. And within 2 months, Roseanne fell pregnant and Timothy was born. And Timothy is holding Abigail there, by the way. And Tim was born premature. He was 2 months premature. He was 31 weeks. So not quite 2 months, but yeah. Very premature, very prem. He was tiny. He could fit on from his tip of his toe to the top of his head. He could fit on my arm. And that was a time of real crisis. And I remember in the midst of that crisis, because, you know, he had to have an emergency Caesar, they had to take him out. And as the pediatrician took him in his arms, and I was standing in the theater, and Roseanne was complaining that this pain was coming up to her chest. I thought she was going to die. And then this pediatrician picks up this baby. He couldn't get it to breathe. And then he said, "This is one sick kid." And he walked out. And I thought, there goes my child. He's died. And my wife is about to die. And all of that. So we were in a real crisis. But in the midst of that crisis, Carol Froneman, Carol Townsend, came and was at the bedside with Roseanne. And she gave us a word that Shannon Buerta had had. And that word was that she had seen a little blonde-haired child, but born around that time. And she had kept quiet about that word because she thought that's too early in terms of the pregnancy. That's way too early. That's 2 months too early. So she didn't share the word with us. And but at that moment in time, this word came through to us, and we just thought, God is with us. God is for us. And we knew. And so that's the kind of thing there are, and I'm sure many of you have experienced that, being part of a church community where people love, there is care, there is prophetic words, there are people standing by you, there are people praying for you, there are all of these amazing things that happen in a church like this that has helped to prepare us and helps to prepare all of us to be ready for the purposes of God, to step into the purposes of God. So Grace Jen has helped us to grow family. Grace Jen has also helped us to grow business. So when we came to Grace Jen, I was a freelance journalist, but God spoke to me about starting a business. And in March 2000, we started Africa Media Online. And right in the beginning, we were no big deal. We were nothing, in fact. But God gave us prophetic words. And one of those prophetic words was by Julian Adams at a Grace Jen camp in Camp Jonathan. And Julian Adams said to me, he said, "I just see tables with contracts on them. And I see millions of rands passing through your hands." And now we were tiny. We had, you know, we could hardly pay anyone. We couldn't even pay ourselves, let alone anyone else at that stage. And then there was another word from a guy called Roy Lockers, who was part of our family of churches. And he said, "I see a tree planted in Africa with its branches reaching around the world. And that God's going to do this in and through your business." Now, for 15 years, Africa Media Online lost money. We just had to sow and sow and sow and sow and sow. Every time, often Gary Smith would look at our books, and Gary would say, "You need to wrap this business up because you're losing too much money." But it was promises that God had given us, that, and God had spoken to us so clearly, "I will make you prosperous and successful." And that promise never let me go. And it was the eldership team would so often gather around us, pray for us, and even come to our business and walk around and do warfare and pray for the machines that were giving trouble and this and that and the other thing. These guys stood with us through thick and thin for 15 years losing money. They stood with us. And today I can report, we have no debt. Hallelujah. God has done a marvelous thing, amazing thing. I mean, we're a miracle. So often we couldn't afford people's salaries, and we had to pay, and we had no money. but God would provide. And so this has been very significant. This thing of growing a business, of becoming sustainable and blessing others. And many in this church are employed by Africa Media Online because of the faithfulness of God. Not because of the wisdom of the Larsons, who were clueless about business, but because of the faithfulness of God through this church. This church has been a huge channel of the grace of God to us and to this business. And I believe that there's much more of that to come through this church. So we may be some of the first fruits, but I believe there's much more of that to come in the future through you. Also, so God, Grace Gen has been used to help us grow family, to help us grow church, but also to grow a ministry. And really, Craig spoke about these 20 years that we've been together. So there are two very significant things that God has used Craig in my life. And number one was he believed in me. So even when I was like a clueless young guy, helping him plant a church in Khayelitsha, not very wise about anything, Craig saw me and believed me in me. And he kept on at me since that point in time. And that's an amazing thing, to have an older guy believe in you. Even when others are overlooking you, there's a guy who believes in you. And so that is very significant. The next very significant thing is Craig built an eldership team. So right from the early days, when things were very, you know, up in the air, Craig was determined to build an eldership team. That's what he gave his energies to in those early days. And I think God had given him some apostolic wisdom there, that he knew if I build a solid team, I can get a solid church. And I was invited onto that team, and there were a bunch of others invited onto the team. Rob at this very similar time, Benson just a bit ahead of me, and so on. And this team became an incredibly solid thing. So this church, if we speak about that word of coming down into Peter Marisburg, dealing with his enemies, I feel like over the last 20 years, God has dealt with his enemies in this church and beyond, and that we've become the solid place of peace. So by the time we reached Scottsville, we were a church at peace. And now we're in a church gathering strength to launch out from this place. So I feel like God has been faithful. He's done what he said he was going to do. And part of that is also being to grow a ministry in us. And fathering has been mentioned here this morning. And the whole iGen process, this is the guys on the top of the Drakensberg, the I Trail. And really, God's done amazing things in my life and in the lives of other young men and young women through the iGen process. It was a tool that God gave us sovereignly in this church. It was the confluence of a number of guys coming together, guys and girls, ladies and men, who had heart for the next generation. And it's an incredible tool. We've been asked to take that tool to Nairobi, to a church in Nairobi. And there are many others that are calling for this tool, because it's something that grounds you, that you deal with all your skeletons in your cupboard. You just get clean, man. It's just such a relief, you know, not to have any secrets anymore. And then you can get on with the rest of life, and you don't have to worry about your secrets. And so it's so exciting what God has done. He's given us a ministry. While I was in Tanzania just recently, the guy who's going to be heading up Regions Beyond in Tanzania is prophetic. And after I'd shared on things, he stood up and he said, "This man is a father among us. And God's put a lot in him, and it just needs to come out." And he prophesied over me that I'm going to be used in that way. And it's in line with what you guys have been communicating this morning. But that gift, that heart, that passion has been trained and grown first in Jubilee Community Church and then here in Grace Generation Church. And so I believe Craig's prophetic word this morning that you will be received as a senior person is already coming to pass. You know, it's already happening. And that's because of the rich heritage of what's been grown here in this church. And for which I'm truly grateful. So, that's first, my first point was we are going because we've been prepared. And we've been well prepared in this place. But we're also going to do things. And I have this picture of Razan. And Razan is about to enter a mosque in Istanbul. And that's why her head is covered. No, not head covers in regions beyond. But Razan and I have developed a heart for the nations. One of the prophetic words that God spoke to us early on when we were still students beyond being students in Jubilee Community Church, a young prophetess spoke a word over us that there are there are tribes with your name on it. Tribes with your name on them. And we really do believe that in time God is going to take us to unreached people groups. And the Muslim world is very much part of that. And we really do believe that. So the first thing we're called to three things, really. First thing is we're going to plant a church in the Umgeni Valley. And the Umgeni Valley, as you know, is Howick. It's just over the hill. So in Maryvale, we want to plant the church in Maryvale, but it needs to be a church that can influence and capture the whole Umgeni Valley. So that's Howick, Hilton, Popameni, Maryvale, Howick West, Emantleni, Sadara, all of those communities, Shias, which is a squatter community, mainly of Sotho speaking people. So we're wanting to plant a church that can impact all of those communities. And the only way you can do that is to plant with a multicultural team. And that's very much a part of what we have. You know, it's incredible going to other nations and I've just been to Tanzania and Kenya and Zanzibar with a multicultural team, and I'll show you a picture of them just now. Because we're multicultural, the nations are open to us. Because of that, because we've learned to work together, and Tim was sharing how God has put that in him through this church. And likewise, so we're going to be planting with a multicultural team. We're going to have a Sotho-speaking pastor coming from Lesotho to reach into the Sotho-speaking squatter community next to Howick Falls. We're going to have different guys from different nations and different communities coming to join us in this church plant. And so while this will be our last official Sunday, you've not got rid of us yet. We'll be around, don't worry, and we'll be back and forth in many ways. So not just till the end of this year, but I'm pretty sure there'll be lots of come and help us, come and do an outreach with us, come and do this, come and do that. Because we want to reach that whole area. We really do. We want to build a significant base church that reaches that entire Umgeni Valley. And we need your skills just as much as we need other skills. So the plan is in the first 6 months of next year, we're going to be doing research. We're going to be on the ground visiting other churches. We're going to be doing all the kinds of things that we need to know in order to plant a church wisely. Then by mid-year, we're going to gather the whole team who are coming. And at this stage, that team is looking about 20 or so people, but I believe it's probably going to grow. And then we're going to gather and build team together for the second 6 months of next year. And then January 2020, we want to launch the church. Part of that is we've got to buy land and we've got to build a church. And we're going to be planting with Paul Simpson, who is a son of this house, as sort of, he's an apostolic gift. He's an amazing gathering gift. He's an incredible gift of releasing other giftings into strengthening churches. And so Paul and Shannon will lead the team together with a bunch of others. So we're very excited about that. So that's the first thing we're going to do. The second thing is we're going to plant and strengthen churches. The east coast of Africa and up into Central Asia is, that's what we believe God has spoken to us. Although God has spoken, so 2 years ago when we did the week of prayer and fasting, God showed me a word, a picture, and the picture of God's finger running up the east coast of Africa, you know, all the way up into Central Asia with Tajikistan right at the far end. And we felt that that was a prophetic word of what God is going to do. And so God is going to help us plant churches in, you know, Swaziland, in Mozambique, in Tanzania, in Kenya, in up into Somalia, into Yemen and Oman and Afghanistan and Tajikistan and Uzbekistan and so on. We really do believe God is going to do that in our day. And this is us, and we've seen that already. So already we're in Tanzania. This is in Zanzibar. Tim and I were visiting this church. This church has been persecuted. They've been thrown out of their building. So they meet in a park in Zanzibar. If you know anything about Zanzibar, it's an incredibly Muslim country. And so being a Christian is quite tough. And so they used to be a church of about 40 people. They're down to just a handful. But while we were there, just soon after this picture was taken, two other young men arrived at this little meeting in the park in Zanzibar. And Tim was just about to tell the story of Sandile and Gugu, which you all know. And Tim told the story, and these two young men were listening to them. And after he's finished telling the story, one young man was very moved. I could see it. And soon after, Paul had a word for him. And the word was, God has called you to leadership, but I believe that there is a tussle over your soul at the moment. There's a fight for your soul that is happening. And just then, his friend piped up. And his friend said, you know, last night we were out, and then we came back to our home, and we sleep in different rooms. But my friend was sleeping in a room with a whole lot of people who are not Christians. And every time he closed his eye to go to sleep, he felt something choking him. And he couldn't sleep. And so he was just getting tired and tired because this thing was choking him. And so he eventually came to my room. He knocked on my door, and I welcomed him in, and we prayed together. And he slept for the rest of the night. And I've said to him, you need to come to church. You need Jesus. So he had arrived that morning to come to church, and he heard the story of Sandile and Gugu and what God has done for him. And so then immediately afterwards, I said to him, I said, have you accepted Jesus in your life? Are you born again? He said, no. I said, would you like to be? He said, yes. And so Tim led him in the prayer to give his heart to the Lord. And so amazing things that God, you realize just the gift that God has given us. Do you know, a weapon is not truly, you don't really realize its power until you use it. And that was my very significant experience in being among the churches in East Africa, is the incredible power of the gospel. And of the things that God has put in us that need to come out. And they are incredible weapons that can change people. This was the team that we went with. As you can see, it's a multicultural team. And you'll know Piwe and Kalmito, who Craig's mate from Mozambique. And Kumbi, who is from Lesotho. And then Paul right at the end with Tim and I. And again, amazing ability, because we're a multicultural team. So thirdly, the third thing God has called us to, God has called us to plant a church up in the Umgeni Valley. He's called us to plant churches and strengthen churches all the way up the east coast of Africa into the Muslim world. And thirdly, he's also called us to change nations. This is a photograph of the ANC Archive Committee, who recently invited me to go and help them to make a presentation to the president of this country. And you can see they're looking so delighted because our presentation went really well. And basically the decision had been made by the NEC of the ANC that all political parties, the archives of all political parties should be supported by the state, which is a very significant thing. So it's not just the ANC, but all political parties, what they do should be preserved and cared for by the nation so that we have this collective memory in the political sphere. But I do believe that God has not just called me, but has called others who are sitting here today to influence nations. So this is about, and God spoke to me many years ago about being a voice to Africa and Africa to the world. And I do believe God is doing that among us. You know, I was up at It's Time in Pretoria, and it was incredible just watching Angus Buchan give a word to the president, a very straight word. If I was the president, I'd listen. Because a lot of things have been happening just recently in terms of what Angus has been used in terms of the kingdom of God. And I think the church is finding its voice in many different ways. But I believe we're called to change nations. So that's us. Thirdly, God has got things for you to do. And I'm finishing on this. And I believe we carry the inheritance of New Frontiers. This church was part of a movement called New Frontiers. And an incredible promise was given to New Frontiers, to Terry Virgo, and that was that you will be used to change the expression of Christianity around the world. And I believe that this church carries that as well. We've been living it out. The things that, you know, as Craig has said, we are this multicultural community in the midst of a divided South Africa. We're living out the reality of heaven in the present. It's let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. It's the experience of heaven on earth. That's what we're doing. That's what we're called to do. And I believe three things that God has called you to do as a church. To create a parish in Pelham. In other words, to reach the neighborhood. Be salt and light. To reach your neighborhood all around us. And that doesn't just mean in Pelham and the activities that the church does together. Very much it's part of that. But it's also where you are in your job, in your home, in your community, in your neighborhood. It's what you're doing. And what's been really thrilling about being part of this church is so many active people. So many people are engaged with the advance of the kingdom of God in their neighborhood, in their family, in their sphere of influence. And so I want to encourage you, keep doing that. Keep building a parish in Pelham. Secondly, dispossess nations. And this means dispossess what the devil's doing and get it over to the kingdom of God. This is the team that we took down to the Eastern Cape, what was it, last year? And we were reaching out to a whole neighborhood, a whole bunch of us. But I really do believe God is calling you to not just your neighborhood, but to regions beyond, as Paul says. I want to go to regions beyond. And I believe this is an incredible equipping base and sending base. That you're not to take your eye off that and just think we're just about the local. We're not just about the local. We're also about the translocal. And God has called this church. And look at this promise. This is the promise of Isaiah 54. And this promise is for us. Sing, barren woman. You who never bore a child, burst into song, shout for joy. You who are never in labor, because more of the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, Grace Generation. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Do not let fear hold you back. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations. In our context of the New Testament, that means take ground from the enemy and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not be put to shame. God is not going to leave you. God is not going to not provide for you. He will. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your womanhood. And I believe this is a prophetic word that God has spoken over us, and we need to put it into place. And thirdly, this day of visitation. Believe God for revival in our generation. That photograph was taken in Bloemfontein at the prayer meeting. It's time prayer meeting. Probably 1.5 million people gathered in a prayer meeting. It's probably the biggest prayer meeting in history. Now, if a nation, and then we had its time in Pretoria, there were many hundreds of thousands. I don't know if we reached a million, but many hundreds of thousands. Friends, we are in a day of revival in this nation, and we need to recognize it. We need to recognize what God is doing in this nation. So often we can be so taken up with what the devil's doing that we can miss what God's doing. And God is doing some incredible things in this nation. And we're not to underestimate it. We're not to underestimate it. You know, when we called the prayer meeting in Bloemfontein and we prayed for godly leadership in South Africa and in Zimbabwe, that God would remove ungodly leadership. At that time, there was no evidence for the corruption. There were rumors of corruption, but no real evidence. Post that, with the Gupta leaks and other things, so much evidence came out, and it's led to the downfall of Zuma. It led to also in Zimbabwe, Mugabe was removed. We never thought that would ever happen. God is on the move, friends. Sure, there's a long way to go, but God is on the move, and we need to trust Him. So in preparing for a day of visitation, I want to encourage three things in this community. Number one, be the community of love that you are. You are an incredible community of love. You stand by one another. You care for one another. You pray for one another. Keep doing that. Keep being this incredible community of love. Don't get caught in your little enclave with your bunch of friends. Keep reaching out. Keep being on the edge. Keep looking to those who you don't know already and involving them in this community of love. Secondly, be a community of faith. What I mean by that is have a culture of encouragement. What's that? Wowing things to life, not howling things to death. Wow, things to life, not howl them to death. Absolutely. Be a community that encourages one another, that believes the best in one another. Believe what, you know, that often sometimes we look at people with the light of our own gifting. But God has put rich gifting in this church. And I want to encourage you, be a community that has faith for one another. Faith for the things that God has spoken over us. Faith, faith, faith. I want to encourage you to do that. Finally, be a community of hope. And I've touched on it already. Friends, South Africa, I read an article just recently, South Africa has the greatest measure of the disconnect between what's really happening in the nation and people's expectation of the wrong things that are going wrong. So in other words, there's a lot more good happening in this nation than we as South Africans recognize. Don't be those who are full of despair. I think we have a national pastime of despair. We've got to give up on that, and we've got to start trusting God. Be a community of hope, not just for this nation, but for this city, for this neighborhood. Be a, for the world. If God is for us, who can be against us? We have such an amazing promises. You know, when the move of the Holy Spirit happened in 1994, I remember lying on the floor of Weinberg High School, and the move of the Holy Spirit was in its greatest, and everyone was falling all over this, all over the hall, and Holy Spirit was doing amazing things. And I remember just lying on the floor, and you know, there's that scripture of tapping the arrow. How many times you want God to act? And I remember just this dream and this vision. Oh God, that you would give us hundreds of millions in our generation. Hundreds of millions in our generation. I'm not talking about David Larson or just one church. I'm talking about the church around the world. That we would see hundreds of millions in our generation swept into the kingdom of God. And if we're going to do that, we're going to work with all our might towards it. And I believe God can give that to us as each one of us stand up and start doing the things for which God has called you. And God has put great riches of resources in you. And that needs to come out. So our hope is that as your faith, as Grace Generation, as your faith continues to grow, that our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel to regions beyond you. 20 years we've been here and the faith has continued to grow, and now we're going to regions beyond you. But I believe it's not just us, it's many from this church in years to come will go to regions beyond. It was such an incredible privilege for Roseanne and Spore and Claire to find themselves in Tajikistan because one of our number had gone ahead. And to be seeing ourselves as nation reachers, as church planters across the continent of Africa and beyond. And I want to encourage you in your own mind, start to see yourself as going. Start to see yourself as stepping into those things, those impossible things, because God has got a plan and a purpose that He wants to catch each and every one of us up in. Finally, we love you. And we expect to be partnering with you to reach the neighborhood and the nations in the years to come. You know, we took a taxi, Paul Simpson, Tim and I, took a taxi ride from Mombasa up to Watamu, which is up the coast of Kenya. And this taxi driver, his name was Gerald. We got chatting, and he started, and then he heard that we were Christians, and he said, no, he's a Seventh-day Adventist, and we got chatting about it. And eventually we got, he asked, so, you know, something about the gospel. So what is, you know, what is this thing that, what is being born again? I think we started chatting to him. Are you born again? So what is being born again? And I got Tim to share Sandile and Gugu with him, the story. And a couple of days later, we took another taxi trip back with him, back in the other direction. As soon as we got in the taxi, he started speaking about this amazing grace that he had heard about. Because we use the verse, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we had spoken about the wages, how a wage is something you earn. And that you and I have earned death. That's what we deserve. But a gift, do you earn a gift? Of course you don't earn a gift. A gift is given. And for these days later, he was amazed that salvation is a free gift. He said he'd never heard anything like it before. He'd spoken to his friend. And his friend, it can't be true. Friend said, can't be true. Where are the verses? And so as we went down from from Watamu down to Mombasa, I was writing out verses for him from the scripture, the gospel verses, so that he can go back and show his friend where in the Bible it says this gift is free. This gift of salvation is free. And he told us, he said, you know, my wife and I, we come into a Pentecostal church recently, and the pastor prophesied over us that we would have a son, because we only have daughters, and that we would have a son. And then a couple of days later, the pastor took my wife aside and said, the way you're going to get a son is if I sleep with you. And he was so mad, of course he was mad, and he approached the pastor and he said, Pastor, what are you doing? You know, why are you saying this? And the pastor used some excuse from the Old Testament that this is the right way the thing must happen. And he said, because you have now irritated the man of God, I'm going to fine you 2,000 Kenyan shillings. And if you don't pay it, curses are going to come on you. This, friends, is what people experience out there. And you don't realize the riches of what's in our hands until you get out there. You don't realize the power of a weapon until you start using it. And I want to say to every single one here, we have an incredible weapon in our hands. And it has the power to change the expression of Christianity around the world. And we're called to it. And you're called to it. And so I want to encourage you, let's get on with it together. Amen.